everybody. This is Rochelle Sparrow, and this is my debut show. I am so thankful to be here, and thank you again, Don, for allowing this show to take place. I just can't thank you enough. I have such gratitude in my heart and in my mind for all that you have blessed me with. So I thank you again. And for everyone out there listening, this is our live show, and I have a wonderful guest with me today, Vicki Werba. And before I introduce you, I want to tell them about myself, and I am Rochelle Sparrow. I am a psychic trans channel. You can visit my website at www.rochellesparrow.com. You can also phone me at 602-430-6447. And what I do is I psychically trans-channel information to help people become clearer and more healed in regards to their lives. And what I'd like to do tonight, to give you an example of what I do, is I'm going to answer a question right now. You are welcome to email questions during this show at info@rochellesparrow.com. And I have a question this evening from Loris Trowbridge, who says, sometimes I know things. Sometimes I pray or lay hands and people are healed. I'm having health problems, but I can't help me. I know I'm supposed to move, but where? I know I'm supposed to do something similar to what you do, but I'm not sure what or how that will ever happen. Nobody I know is like me. It's lonely here. I've been in hiding, so to speak, and I feel I may have lost what gifts I once had. Can you help me? And my guides say to you, Loris, you are incorrect to doubt what you know is truth about yourself. Your inavailability to yourself is what makes you want to move. In other words, moving will not resolve the issue, and it is moving towards your inner self that will resolve the issue for you. And the energy that is coming in, Lawrence, because that's what I do, audience. I trans-channel messages from my guides. But the second thing I do as well is that I read the energy that the guides send me. And all of this information is contained within the aura of an individual. So the energy that they're sending me here is one of hope and love and knowing that is present within your aura, within the body of home that is within yourself. Know yourself within your home of self. And that is the only move you need to take. Now, they're going to give me some short information in regards to your health problems. It feels like lungs. It feels like breathing difficulties. Either, I never know when in terms of time this information falls. Either you have smoked or you're presently smoking, and that you must now begin to take care. It feels like of lungs, and it does feel like some type of suffocation or pressure, which you have not fulfilled. Okay. Thank you, guys. So what they're saying is that you have not fulfilled your ability to take care of yourself by going, it feels like, to your medical appointments, as well as continuing, it feels like, to exercise, and I'm getting biking. So they're either saying in the past or distant present that you biked, that you cycled, and that now is the time to resolve your commitment. It feels like hiking to experience physical exercise like you once had. So again, move towards yourself in terms of what you know. It is correct to think that you channel in information from the guides. It feels like specifically, it feels like an archangel, and I want to say Raquel. Okay. And that, thank you guys, and that your being is a more available to understanding self when you listen to your messages. And I think that's good advice for all of us, listen to our messages. And that is the intent of this show, to attune you to what you know inside of yourself, to attune you to the message that you get, to take yourself seriously, to validate who and what you are, and to bring home to yourself all of your knowing so that your connection with the divine within gets stronger and stronger. I'm initiating this show tonight with a wonderful guest. Her name is Vicki Werba, and she is an MSW, and she's also an intuitive counselor. And what she does is that she does workshops on creative thinking and healing. And she also does long-distance healing. And I'd really like to talk about those two subjects because I think they're so important, especially for what is happening in our world right now. Vicki, are you there?
Well, I'm here, Rochelle, and that was all very interesting, your message to that woman. It was wonderful.
Why, thank you. I am wondering, in light of what you just heard me say to Laurice, what would you say yourself in terms of your own beliefs about how we create our lives through our thoughts? Do you have any messages that you can speak to her about as well?
Well, I would say two things. The first thing is I'd like to expand on something that you said to her about that she's incorrect in doubting her intuitive abilities. Because one of the seminars that I've created with a partner is called Developing Your Psychic and Intuitive Abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people put a mystique around having these abilities when actually we all have them. All human beings have them. We just have not developed them. We have not, you know, allowed ourselves to be open to the abilities. So you can actually learn the skills and practice them and realize that you do have the power to receive very accurate messages. And what many intuitive people do quite often is they receive messages from their guides and they doubt the accuracy of them. They minimize them. They think that it's just their imagination. And what I say about that is that God and spirit, the universe, speaks to us through our imagination. And it's something for us to honor and really cherish that ability.
I think that you're right. And I want to talk to you further about that. But before I do, can you share with the audience how people can get a hold of you?
Well, you can reach me at 480-560-3276 by phone. Or you could reach me through email at joy112503@yahoo.com.
So how is it that people come to doubt what they know inside? How does that process happen in terms of what they think?
That's well, what happens quite often, Rochelle, and this is something I'm sure you've experienced yourself, is that when these children who are so tapped into their intuition start speaking their truth and sharing information with their parents and other people in their lives, and the parents don't know what to do and they get in fear, so they, out of their fear, try and get these children to suppress and subdue their gifts. So what happens then is the child gets this negative message that it's not okay for me to do this. So they start to forget, so to speak.
So how does that fear begin? Is it something that is cultural? Is it something that's passed down generationally? Like, was that fear, do you think, always existent, or was there a time in the history of humanity where we were more tapped in?
Well, I believe that in ancient times, people were much more open to and comfortable with the gifts of intuition and psychic abilities. And I think over the centuries, especially with during history, with so many, you know, religions that have popped up and considered this to be blasphemy or witchcraft, and I respect and cherish and honor all religions, so I'm not knocking any religion, but I think that was part of what started people to go into a place of fear and to suppress their abilities, because they were actually, you know, punished in many dramatic ways. So
you're talking about incidences such as the Inquisition,
yeah,
such as witch burning.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so the religious domination that happened that certainly would scare a lot of people culturally into suppressing what they know inside. What do you think is happening right now that there has certainly been, and probably what, in the last several decades, certainly been a resurgence of our knowing our own psychic ability? Like, what is happening now, do you think, vibrationally, that is allowing people to become more open?
Well, I think, Rochelle, that we're in a very exciting time in the universe right now, where people who are skeptical are having mystical and synchronistic experiences every day, and miracles are happening in their lives that are becoming so dramatic that it's difficult for them to ignore. You know, people will tell you how they have had a telepathic communication with someone, and this is something we've all experienced, where you'll think of someone and a minute later they'll call you on the phone. Just something as simple as that. Or you'll think about someone and you'll call them on the phone and they'll say to you, oh, I was just thinking about you. So it's little things like this that are clues that we are all opening up our abilities to one another and communicating in that way, and I think it's very exciting.
Yes, I agree with you. It is very exciting. What makes it benign, those kinds of experiences, where somehow people have lost the fear or even have lost the desire to begin to assert the oppression again so that the fear returns? What do you think is happening culturally on a large scale that is allowing people to say, you know what, these experiences are benign, they're not as scary as even my great-grandmother might have told me years ago, but, you know, it's okay to have?
Well, Rochelle, that's a good question. I believe that what's happening now in the world is that people are getting sick and tired of being stuck in fear, because it's just not working for them anymore. And when we operate in a mindset of fear and doubt and anger and resentment, we bring our process to a screeching halt, and it negatively affects every area of our lives. And I think that people are just getting tired of doing that. You know, there's a saying in the therapeutic world that the pain of staying the same has to be greater than the pain of change. And what that means basically is that your life has to get bad enough for you and unbearable enough for you to reach out for help and want to make changes in your life. And I think that we've gotten to that point as a global community.
Yes, and as you were talking, I was thinking about Freud. Like, he did have a wonderful purpose in coming in the last century and being able to open up people to more awareness of their psychological process. And I'm also thinking about telecommunications and how the global connections have allowed the information just to move so rapidly between people that the awareness of people stuck in fear as a global unit is becoming more and more accentuated.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true, Rochelle, is that many people who inundate themselves with watching the news on TV and reading the newspapers get into the belief system that all the world is just going to hell in a handbasket and all this evil is coming up, when the reality of it is all of these things that you're hearing about have been going on since time began, only we didn't have easy access to the information and the over-dramatization of it every single day in the media.
Very interesting. You can email questions, audience, to info@rochellesparrow.com, RochelleSparrow, for Vicki Werba, who's sharing some wonderful insights about what's happening in terms of the culture as well as the shifts that are happening in terms of ourselves and our ability to tap into what we know. So do you think that there is some type of purpose, albeit a paradoxical one, in all of this information being accentuated as it is and accelerated as it is, that the world is going to hell in a handbasket? Do you think that there's an actual purpose to that?
Yes, I do, Rochelle. Before I answer that, may I say that I did have a dedication for this interview, and we got so excited in talking. I forgot to mention it. May I say my dedication?
Absolutely.
Yes, I'd like to dedicate this interview and this show to my daughter, Christine Elizabeth Werba, who is a bright and beautiful child of God.
Oh, that's wonderful. And God bless you, Chris.
I love you, Chris. So in answer to your question, I believe there's absolutely a divine purpose that all of this so-called evil and negativity is coming up. And it's a good purpose, and that is to get it all out in the open, to weed through it, to throw it away, and to just release it and get rid of it once and for all.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the culture right now, in terms of it pointing out all this horrible stuff that's happening in the world through the media, is actually serving the purpose of saying, hey, look, notice this, acknowledge it. You don't have to live in denial anymore about what you're choosing to focus on?
Absolutely, because what I choose to do, Rochelle, is to stay peaceful and trusting in the eye of the hurricane. And that can be very challenging when all kinds of chaos is going on around us. It's very important for us to stay centered, because that is one of the most powerful and effective ways that we can impact the world. When we participate in the fear and the drama and the chaos, then we're perpetuating it to continue and continue. But if we can step out of the chaos and stay centered and focused and peaceful and trusting in the divine process, we can affect change in the world.
I think that's very interesting. I have a question about that, and that is that there seems to be two paths, one of them being that there's a lot of light workers out there who believe that sending light is the whole deal, that things like anger, that things like action, that things like acknowledgement of whatever underlying feelings might be attached to these global events that are occurring are somehow not okay, and that staying in this kind of like nice light, which to me is also a kind of type of denial, is the way to go. And I'm just kind of wondering what your thoughts are about that.
My thoughts about that, Rochelle, and this kind of segues into the whole concept of creating your life consciously.
Yes.
We create our life by our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitudes, and our feelings. The feelings that we have around our thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a saying that, you know, according to universal law, what you focus on is what you bring into your life. So consider this, that if we focus on all of the negativity that's going on in the world and put energy to it, that is contributing to it, as opposed to visualizing and focusing on the area, the issue, or the people, or the places, being perfect. And that's what I believe will really change the world, is that instead of looking at the negativity, and focusing any energy on it, to not put any energy to it at all, but visualize the whole scene as perfect and beautiful and healthy.
Well, what I'm hearing you say here is that you're not minimizing it or not acknowledging
No.
the negative things that do happen
No.
in the world. You're saying that there is genuine things that happen. However, you don't necessarily have to stay or dwell in the negativity. You can acknowledge it and then move someplace else with your energy.
Well, when you say move someplace else, what I say is you don't walk away from it. You focus on the area that needs to be changed, and you visualize it being the best that it can be. In other words, as an example, with the result of Hurricane Katrina, if we focused on New Orleans as being clean and clear and bright and rebuilt and the people thriving there, that will affect them positively much more than continuing to focus on the devastation of it.
Okay. Now, so what you're saying is that you move to the perfection of what is.
Yes.
Okay, can you share with the audience exactly the type of occurrence, or I want to say the universal law that makes that possible? Like, what is the energy behind that? In fact, how does that happen? How can you focus on the whole being perfect, and how does it then concretely manifest?
Well, if you think about the quote from the Bible, ask and you shall receive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yep. How I interpret that is that you get very clear on what it is that you want, okay? And instead of saying, I want this, I want that, I would like to have this, I hope that I get that, that's continuing to put all of your creations in the future. Whereas if you state, I am, or I have, and visualize yourself already in the place that you want to be, that is the most powerful form of creation.
So
because
what I'm
again,
hearing,
universal law says what you focus on is what you get. So if you say, I want a new red Porsche convertible, and that's something you're thinking about all the time, and you're driving down the street and you look over to your right and you see someone driving the exact car that you want, and you look at the car and you get all excited and you go, oh, wow, that's exactly my car, and you're all excited about it, but then 2 seconds later, you say, oh, but I'll never be able to get it. I'll never have the money to get that car. So what you've done is you've done two pieces of creation within 30 seconds that are diametrically opposed to each other. And so the universe, your higher self, God, spirit, whatever you want to call it, simply listens to what you say, does not evaluate it, but just says, okay. So if you say, I want that red car, they go, okay. And then you say, no, but I can't have it. They say, okay. So basically, you know, within minutes, you're shifting and changing your creative process. It's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then you wonder why you don't get what you want.
So what I'm hearing is that when you say, and when people say, I am, they are actually in the present moment. And being in the moment is a portal. That's what it sounds like to me.
Being in the present moment is vital, that we stay in this moment today, because this is the only reality that we have. The past is past. The past is history. The future is mystery. And all we truly have is the present moment. And the moment that we have is the moment that the opportunity for us to create what we want in the future.
So it sounds like to me, when you say that, that some type of door opens. That's what I mean by portal.
I believe that, Rochelle.
Okay, can you talk about that? Like, what door opens when somebody says, I am?
Well, what the door that opens is you are reciting to the universe or God or your higher self. You are saying, by saying I am, what you're saying is, I trust that everything that I choose and want is here and comes to me. And the trust is a very important step to the creative process. That's really the last step in the process, after surrender, after turning it over, is that when you say, I am, you're saying, well, I trust that this is here, it's coming to me, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's just like I use the analogy, Rochelle, of when you go into your favorite restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and you open the menu, and the server comes and asks you what you'd like to order, and you very confidently order your dinner, and you close the menu, and the server takes the menu away. Now, you don't sit in the restaurant wringing your hands then and saying, oh, I hope the chef is going to understand what I want. I hope he's going to get it right. Oh, I wonder if it's going to be okay. You don't do that. You just sit very calmly, and you trust and you know that your dinner will arrive the way you ordered it.
Okay.
And it's the same thing with the creative process. You could go through all of the steps of being clear on what you want, writing it down, putting it out to the universe, bringing excitement. See, every time you think about it, you know, feeling excited, because that's what emotion is. It's the word emotion from E and motion, which is what moves you toward your desires, your creation.
So it sounds like from what you're talking is that when you are centered in that moment with total trust and total knowing, you allow the universe to move through you. So it's not necessarily you that is doing the creating. It is the universe that is moving through you and for you that is doing the creating.
Absolutely. You're opening the door. You're you know, you've released any blocks. You're not setting up any blocks of negative belief systems or attitudes. And you're completely open to receiving, because that's what the universe wants, is just to give you what you ask for.
And
if
also,
you keep changing it, they don't know what to, then they don't do anything. If you keep saying, I want this, but, oh, I probably can't get it. I want this, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. You know, you just keep stopping it, going back and forth and back and forth. You have to stay in the knowing.
Okay, so what you know, that was my next comment, is that the intent is very important. But it also brings to mind that there are so many people out there, and I'm sure there's members of our audience. And by the way, if you have questions, please email us at info@rochellesparrow.com for Vicki Borba, MSW, who's an intuitive counselor and offers long-distance healing to those members of our audience who are very taken up with the conversation right now. I am also wondering about the people out there who have that problem of going back and forth, who have the ambivalence and don't seem to be able to focus on their intent. I get lots and lots of emails from people who are saying, well, I really want this to happen. I've been waiting for this to happen. I can't understand why it isn't manifesting. What would some of your answers be to possible barriers that people might be experiencing?
Well, Rochelle, what the first thing that I think about is I might ask this person to identify some of their self-defeating attitudes and beliefs about themselves and about the world. And we base the behaviors that we engage in are based on our self-defeating attitudes. So we call them self-defeating attitudes and behaviors. And so what happens is, based on the messages that you received as a child, like for instance, you're clumsy or you're stupid or you're never going to amount to anything, children that receive negative messages like that, they take them in as the truth because they believe that their parents are all-knowing. So when they take in these messages as the truth, they become this person's self-defeating attitudes and beliefs. So if you grow up with the belief that you'll never be a success, and you're working very hard to be successful, you're going to keep setting up blocks to that because you truly don't believe that you have the capability to be a success.
Okay, so despite the effort that someone might be putting in to be a success, you're saying that the energy that has occurred from self-defeating beliefs actually is the block without their possible awareness of that occurring.
Yes.
So what people need to do is to take a look at every single thought or perhaps every single emotion that comes from perhaps unrecognized thoughts that were transferred to them as they were growing up. Like, in other words, people might have emotions that they might not put words to. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, absolutely. And then another helpful thing to do is to look at your self-talk, the things you say to yourself, the things you walk around saying to yourself all day, like, oh, that was so stupid. How stupid could you be? You really screwed up. You're this, you're that. And so I ask people to really monitor their self-talk, because everything you say to your body, Rochelle, your body believes it. Your body, your subconscious mind just takes in, just like the universe, your subconscious mind takes in everything you say to it as being the truth.
Okay, so again, what you're saying is that we're one with the universe. We're part and parcel of the universe.
Yeah.
We could even be a universe on our own that's attached to the universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's all one system. And if we design and create our system by devaluing or invalidating who we are, even right down to our cellular DNA level, that's going to manifest.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things I do with clients, is I assist them on their individual path to remembering who they are. Because when we come into a lifetime, Rochelle, we know fully who we are. And
can you explain that a little bit to our audience? What do you mean we know fully?
Part of why infants, newborn babies and infants, have to sleep so much. You know, they sleep most of the 24 hours in a day, is because they're returning to spirit. They're still maintaining that connection like we do in our dream state. And they gradually, as they get older, need to sleep less and less because they're integrating into the human life, the human world. And so little children, it's why they're such magical beings, that we have to honor and listen to everything they say to us and not minimize or ridicule or make fun of the things they say, because out of these babes come the most powerful wisdom and beautiful wisdom.
So what happens?
Because they haven't yet forgotten who they are, and usually by the age of 7, they're pretty much forgetting, because their parents aren't keeping that part of them alive, because the parents have forgotten who they are.
So what happens if somebody has an unresolved issue from a past life that acts as a barrier? It's not necessarily something that is useful for their higher good in this lifetime, but has been brought energetically over from a past life, albeit in the universal way and intent of helping them heal it by recreating it. But what happens, how can that be resolved when somebody brings in an energy from a past life that's not necessarily for the positive?
Well, I believe, Rochelle, that that's the only true value to going into a past life regression. The only other benefit to doing a past life regression is because you're curious about another lifetime, you know. But as far as it being therapeutic, the benefit to going back and doing a past life regression is going to the point of origin of an issue that you have in this lifetime that you've tried in every way possible to resolve with the medical field, through all other modalities, and you still have it. For instance, you have severe neck pain that's just debilitating you, and doctors can't find anything wrong with your neck, okay? And you've had x-rays, you've done the whole allopathic, routine, and you can't get rid of this neck pain. Well, possibly doing a past life regression and asking to go to the point of origin of that issue might take you back to a previous lifetime in which you were beheaded. So
wow.
You may go back and re-experience that, and that may be all you have to do. And then it's over when you come out of the regression. And this has happened so many times and been documented by one of the psychiatrists who's written wonderful books on this subject is Dr. Brian Weiss. And his first book, Many Lives, Many Masters, was the first book he wrote. And it was a documentary on, he taped about a year of past life regressions with one patient who had miraculous recoveries week after week after week. And so it's something very, very fascinating.
Is that the type of work you do also?
Well,
past life regression?
I mainly do guided imagery and visualization with clients, where I will take them back to earlier times in this lifetime just to revisit the inner child, the different ages of children that are inside of us, and go to each age child to see what the wound is and what that child would like for us to know or wants or needs from us. So that's the type of work that I would ordinarily do in that sense.
And can you do that long distance?
Well, I could take people through guided relaxation and guided imagery over the phone if they had the capability of, being in a quiet, reclining place and have a phone somehow attached to their ear. Yes, that could be done.
Can you tell me what the benefits of that is? Of that type of work?
Well, Rochelle, even the most well-meaning parents in the world cannot physically be present to every need of every child, okay? So every child grows up with some level of woundedness at different ages. You know, some are very minor, some are extremely major and traumatic. And so what happens is we carry these wounds around with us as adults, and they negatively affect every area of our life, even if we've repressed the memory of them. So it's very valuable to go back and revisit all of the ages of the children and just simply ask, what do they need? Because you, the adult, can now assure them that you are there for them in ways that their biological parents may not have been able to be there for them.
And this is Vicki Werba, MSW, Long Distance Healer, Intuitive Counselor. You could reach her at, Vicki, can you give your email out again and your phone number?
My phone number is 480-560-3276. And the email address is joyjoy112503@yahoo.com.
And we just have a few minutes left, but I want to get into your long distance healing. Can you explain that? Like, what is that?
Well, Rochelle, there are a few different things that I've done in the past. Sometimes I will just go into a meditation and speak to the person's higher self and just have a dialogue, have a talk with the person's higher self, and just say what my prayer is for that person, for their healing, and ask their higher self to share that with the personality. And that's one way. And I mean, I've done that. It's many times so dramatic that when I do the meditation, that person will call me 5 minutes later. Been pretty interesting how that has happened.
Can you share some details of that? That is very interesting, and it's interesting to me because obviously somebody notices the recipient. First off, the higher self is the higher self, so allows you automatic access, so allows you permission to come in. And second off, that the recipient obviously feels something. Something is happening there.
Well, it's an energetic knowing. They're not consciously aware. They're not calling me because they know that I just went into a meditation. But the connection is made because they feel it, so they'll pick up the phone and call.
And what do they say to you? Do they say, I'm just kind of interested in, they may not consciously know, but I'm just kind of interested what comes
out
unconsciously.
Well, it's nothing, you know, nothing dramatic, just calling and saying, hi, I was just thinking about you, how are you doing, that kind of thing. You know?
Okay, so they know on some level that they have been thought of.
Yes.
Okay.
Another thing that I do is to light a candle and just actually create a ceremony. I pray to the angels, the guides, the masters, Mother Mary, Jesus, and I will hold a photograph of someone or some symbol of that person, and I'll just put my hands on the photograph and sit and meditate and just visualize bright white and golden light around that person. I'll just send them abundance of light. And then I know when the session is over, when I actually see that brilliant light around them, and then that's the end of the session.
That sounds wonderful. And have you had the same kind of responses?
Well, not always. You know, I can't say every single time I do it, the person calls me, because that has not happened. However, it's in my knowing that all people are positively affected by loving thoughts and prayers that you send to them. I truly believe that. I mean, in the power of prayer, and even when groups, you know, are praying, it's very powerful. So whenever someone says, would you please pray for me, or would you pray for my neighbor, or that, I never dismissed that because it's a very powerful, powerful thing to do. Because we're all connected, Rochelle. All of us are connected energetically. And what we do for ourselves and in our thoughts affects everyone in the world. And that's why we have such a responsibility to monitor our thoughts and not hold any negative thoughts about another human being, because it will negatively and energetically affect them.
Okay, so what you're saying is to believe in your knowing regardless of the result. The result may or may not be known. It doesn't matter about the consequences, because whatever consequences manifest are in the higher good. And you may not have evidence of that, but that's okay because it still exists.
Absolutely. You worded it very, very succinctly. Yes, Rochelle.
And that also brings me to another question, that sometimes these barriers or what happens inside a person's etheric field or their aura in terms of what manifests with intent. For example, if somebody is attending abundance, yet somehow they're not quite feeling valid experientially has the sense of value inside of themselves, that what can manifest through that intention is perhaps things that accentuate their devaluation in order for them to notice.
Absolutely. I'm really glad you asked that, because when it comes to abundance, that's one of the biggest issues, you know, one of the biggest things that, one of the most common things that people are wanting to bring into their life, namely an abundance of wealth, okay? And I look at abundance as abundance at all levels, and that means abundance of love, health, wealth, and creative self-expression. But let's just focus on abundance of wealth, just for the sake of the example. If you say that you want to have $1 million, let's just throw that out there, and that, you know, you want to earn $1 million. Well, if you have a negative unconscious belief, and there are so many of them around money, it's just amazing. You may have the belief that money is the root of all evil.
Right.
Okay? So, if you've got that conflict going on within you of, I want a lot of money, but it's bad, then you're not going to get it. Because there, again, is that conflict of yes, no, yes, no, yes, no.
And the other thing that comes to mind, and we just have two more minutes, and I want to get, again, your email and your phone number in this. But the other thing that comes to mind is that people can actually manifest perhaps a job, but with a boss who may be not a very nice man or maybe have some evil aspects to his personality, in order for them to begin to recognize what, again, is externally manifesting from their internal beliefs about money.
They may have created the job that they want, but the boss is very difficult to get along with, so they may have a negative unconscious belief that I have the capacity to make a lot of money, but it's going to be very hard because life is supposed to be a struggle. Many people believe that life is supposed to be a struggle. And Stuart Wilde wrote these wonderful little books, and one of them's called Life Was Never Meant to Be a Struggle. And if you embrace that belief, it can change your whole life. If you embrace the belief that life is supposed to be easy and joyful and effortless, that's exactly how it's going to be.
Well, this has been Vicki Werba, and thank you so much for coming on today. I so appreciate your insights and your work, and I value you and I respect your work. And she could be reached at 480-391.
No, Rochelle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. The number is 480-560.
Sorry about that.
3276.
And your email?
is Joy, J-O-Y, 112503@yahoo.com.
And thank you so much for all those who have tuned in today. I really appreciate you being here for the debut show of the Rochelle Sparrow Psychic Connection, and I'll see you next week, Sunday, at 6 o'clock Central Time PM. Thank you again, and have a great week. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Bye. Oh, thank you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.